here in Los Angeles, we are the number one in STDs.
All right, guys, way to play it.
Chlamydia.
Good
chlamydia
game.
Is number one.
Give it up for chlamydia.
But it's... Welcome, nurses and hypochondriacs, to another episode. This is episode number three. I am so excited today. We're talking about herpes. Herpes, a love story. And I'm so excited to bring on our next guest. She produced and acted in her solo show
and wrote
Herpes, a Love Story. So she was excited to pop her fringe cherry. She premiered her show, Herpes, a Love Story, at the Hollywood Fringe Festival 2017. And she's totally stoked to poke fun at her pain in front of everyone and everyone listening to the podcast. She has a background in neuroscience, chemistry, and basic math, upholding the Filipino standards of overachieving in school while keeping it real and underachieving in life. She earned an MFA from the American Film Institute because one day she said, "Fuck science. I want to write movies." Cut to 3 years postgraduate, and she writes a one-woman show about herpes because it was coming out of her, the show, not the herpes.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
And I would like to bring on Cherise Pasquale. Cherry, welcome to the show.
Hi. Thank you for having
me. Hi. Well, thank you for being here and talking about Herpes, a Love Story. I saw your show. I thought it was amazing. You got Encore Extensions, which was brilliant for The Fringe. Fringe in 2015, and I know how hard that is to put a show together, to get a director, to write a show. So why don't you start us off with what inspired you or how this all started? I mean, I saw your show, but you want to maybe go with it with our listeners?
And sure. Okay. Thanks. So... basically, the show came out of all the pain and shame I felt being a herpes carrier or having herpes. I have herpes. There's no, you know, you're halfway in or out. I definitely have it. I'm an asymptomatic carrier, and the shock of learning this information later in life, like I must have got it when I was in my early 20s. There's no way to really tell who gives you herpes, but I have a pretty good idea, which we'll get into later. But I found out when I was 32. And this knowledge destroyed everything in my life because I let it. It was my idea of what herpes was. Having a science and a medical background, you'd think that I'd be a little more, I don't know, smart, open-minded, understanding, compassionate, but I wasn't. I fell into the stigma, and I believed the worst of myself. I punished myself for a very long time. I showered with latex gloves on for over a year because I thought I could spread the herpes to my eczema, because there is a thing called herpetic eczema, and it just, I couldn't have sex with my boyfriend. I had a boyfriend who was with me, who loved and accepted me. He was with me before I got diagnosed and after, and was totally cool and didn't even accuse me of cheating, but I just beat up myself, like, really, really, really bad, and I couldn't get over it. And I just let it destroy me slowly because of the stigma. I stigmatized myself. I was disgusted by other people who had herpes. I didn't want to be with another person. So I understand the shame. And when people are like, "Ooh, you know, you did a show about herpes. That's like the worst story." I'm like, "Dude, you're a hot bartender in Hollywood. Like, I got news for you. You probably have herpes too. It's not a big deal, man. You're super hot. I mean, boom." But anyway, I'm used to this, you know, nobody can give me anything negative about this disease that I haven't already done to myself. And so this is my long-winded way of saying this disease nearly destroyed me. And I had to rebuild myself from the absolute bottom up and learn how to function and love myself completely and wholly, which I never did. I always, I peaked at 14. I put up a picture in my show, like, I just knockout, like, I looked like I was 19 years old when I was 14, and jailbait, and I knew it, and I loved it, and very, like, interested in having sex at a very young age, and was just very, you know, empowered by that, and that was my power, and having that stripped away from me, and herpes was the kryptonite, I I needed to learn how to be other. I mean, I was other things. I was a good friend. I was a good person. I was, I guess, intelligent in school. But I needed to find value and love for myself in other ways, not just sexually. And I did that from the bottom up. And from there, when I was getting clean, or it might have even been before. Yeah, I got into drugs. It was like cliche, but it was the only way I could feel really good about myself. So I got heavily into cocaine. I'm not saying like, oh, this is a slippery slope. And if you have herpes, you're going to have a cocaine addiction. I mean, that's stupid. Come on. This was my journey. But while I was in the thick of the addiction, I had these visions of doing a one-person show. And I'd always wanted to be, I was kind of a performer when I was little. And the fact that I'm Filipino and I sing and we're born with a mic in our hands. And my brother does musical theater. And, you know, I took voice lessons with him for 13 years. But as far as acting and doing my own one-person show, it was just a fantasy of mine that I had as a kid. And then while I was in my drug-induced whatever, grandiosity, I envisioned having this conversation where I tell a guy, hey, you know, I have herpes, and we're sitting at a table for two eating pizza. And then suddenly in his mind, he envisions me as a gigantic cartoon herpy. And it's kind of like that Fantasia, you know, sequence with the elephants. But it's like, herpes, 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 doom, 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 doom. And I was like, oh, that's really sad, but freaking hilarious. So I kind of like just clocked that, you know, I just put that away. And I was like, I'm gonna do something with that. And then I always envisioned the speech, giving the speech to somebody and it just going completely wrong. And like one minute they just want to consume you because you are the sexiest goddess in the world. And the chemistry is right. And boom, 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 things are going. Oh, I have herpes. And then they're like, and they're like out the door. You're no longer hot. You're disgusting. You're a pariah. And gee, this is how we treat people for telling the truth, you know? So it's, I get it. I get why people are ashamed. I think that all happens. That all ties into the stigma. And so the show came from trying to put all these stories together and teach people to be, to break the stigma of herpes and also to love themselves, you know, and all that. And I met my director, Jessica Lynn Johnson, who is a solo show badass. She's amazing. I met her through my boyfriend, Carrie Matthews, who did a one-person show. And I had these two little scenes with the cartoon herpy and giving the speech to someone and it being a train wreck just in my computer somewhere. And when I met Jessica, I knew I had to tell her, like, we need to do this together. And I was so scared to, but after seeing a couple more, like, serious, because my boyfriend's show is a comedy, but I saw, like, a couple shows about rape and being fat and, you know, my Big Fat Blonde musical, and these shows kind of pushed me to finally tell her, like, I can't have a real conversation with you until we start working on my show. I would really love to take your class. Like your private coaching. And then like from there, we just did it. And it was pretty fast. I started seriously writing it in November to premiere it. I premiered it at SoloFest in February this year. So it was just a few months. And then it was 90 minutes and I cut it down really quick and got it ready for Fringe to like a 75 minutes if I really have time, 75 minute show. That's how it was born.
It was an excellent show. What was your goal with the show? Like, what was its purpose?
Oh, the purpose was to put every single person in the audience in every different position you could be on this, in this herpes topic, having it, receiving the news, hearing the news. I just wanted to make them uncomfortable because herpes is uncomfortable. The audience is seated inside my vagina and I wanted to take them on this ride to let them know what it feels like to have to give somebody a talk like that and have them bail and see how hard it is on the other side, but also challenge them and think, you know, into thinking like, what would you do if somebody told you this? And hey, here's news, guys. There is a kind of a darker version of my show where I'm like, you all probably have herpes. I mean, I'm paraphrasing, but it's like, you know, in a room like this of 50 people, 8 of you have it. 1 to 2 people know I am that one person. That means, you know, there's 75 to 90% of people who have herpes in this room who don't even know. And so everyone would be like, oh, shit, is it me? And what am I going to do? But at the end, I wanted to teach them, like, hey, you know, it's okay. If you've gone this long not knowing you have it, you're probably an asymptomatic carrier like me. It's not going to make a big difference in your life as long as you have a very solid foundation of who you are as a person and know your worth and know that you're not your disease. And for some people who were maybe the way I thought before, you know, how I was thinking, my mentality, they'd probably stigmatize themselves and that would be their journey. Maybe some people ran out and got tested. I know a girl, my first show, she had to bolt out of there because she was just, oh my God, I have herpes. And then I was like, what?
You made her a hypochondriac.
Yeah, she was already a hypochondriac, I think. But she, I don't know, she was kind of weird about it. Like she... I don't know. My director was like, did she blame you for that? I'm like, I don't know. But she thanked me. A lot of people thanked me. A lot of people came out of the woodwork saying like, oh my God, I have it too. You totally understand. I can't laugh about it yet. But this girl in particular, she was just like, oh my God, I have it. I have it. And it turned out to be something else. It was like some rash. It can manifest itself as a rash here, like on your legs, but also it could be like there. And it's got a weird, it's an acronym. I forgot what it's called, but I know my boyfriend's sister knows what it is because we were just talking about it. Let me ask her. I'm gonna text her right now. But it turned out to be that, and it's actually worse than herpes because you can have an outbreak for like 6 months and not be healed. Oh. So, yeah. And see, I've never even had an outbreak, but shit happens. Some people have like one like little sore and they don't even know, which we should definitely talk about. A yeast infection can be more uncomfortable.
It's not coming to me, that acronym. But
yeah,
going back, because of the show, would you say it was more educational for you? Did you want to educate your audience? Or was it more cathartic for you? Like, did you need some healing to come through this?
It was all of the above. I wanted to educate the audience, not only on a fact level, but on an emotional, psychological stigma level. And also, it was very cathartic. In fact, like after doing it at SoloFest in February, I didn't even promote my show. Like I only told people that I was close to. I mean, I filled a 90-seat theater, but like I wasn't out and proud in the poster child of freaking herpes. I'd put that shit everywhere now. Like I don't care. That's who I am. But even in February, I was still a little bit, ooh, like I blocked about 50 people on my Facebook feed that I didn't want to see it. Like I blocked them as friends. Like,
oh, wow.
Oh, I went to elementary school. Oh, with this person. Oh, they're a lawyer now. Oh, they're way better than I am. You know, I was like, oh, they have like 8 degrees. I'm going to block them because they're going to judge me. You know, stupid. I've totally evolved from then, even in February. So it was definitely cathartic. And every time I do it, it's cathartic. But also, yeah, the purpose was to educate and break the stigma and put everyone in that bed, in those shoes, in those pants, you know?
In those pink rain slickers that you put everybody in to be the actual vagina that you swabbed and that you... super soaked.
Yeah.
Everyone. I want to go back to the beginning when you found out you had herpes and you told your mom.
Oh, when I told my mom? Oh, my gosh. Yeah, it was like a big deal. Like, I had to sit her down. And I think she thought it was going to be like cancer or something because it was serious. And she didn't really know how to handle it. Like, I mean, not like she didn't know how to handle it. She didn't know how to handle me. And she... I mean, I love my mom, but she didn't give me what I was looking for because I think I just wanted her to hold me and tell me everything was going to be okay and that she still loved me and I was still worthy and I wasn't this disease. But she was just like, oh, you know, it's not a big deal. It's just a touch. It's just a little touch of the herpes. And I was like, what? I don't know if it works that way, Mom.
You made a song about that. You want to sing a little bit about A Touch of Herpes?
Oh, yeah.
Just a few verses?
Well, it's a parody off of that Jennifer Page song, Crush. So I will try my best, but I've got my Mac Daddy voice on right now, so we'll see how it goes. It's just a little touch, not like it spreads every time you fuck. It's just some little thing, not like everyone you do outbreaks on you.
Oh my God, amazing. Awesome. Oh my God, you were amazing. I love that song.
You can't see me, but I'm hiding in my hair.
Oh, that was the amoeba Jesus. We'll go back to amoeba Jesus.
Oh, amoeba Jesus. Oh, that's a good story. We definitely have to talk about. We definitely have to talk about that.
Amoeba Jesus. So I really liked when you went to the doctor for the first time. Talk about that.
Oh.
It was the Indian doctor.
Right.
I love her voices. I love your voices.
Oh, thank you. Oh, they're all the voices in my head. Okay, so I, you know, had to change things.
You were in New York.
I was in New York. Yeah, I had to kind of like summarize it down because, you know, the facts were just a lot worse, actually. So, yeah, I was in New York. I was working on a film And I had the fire of a million suns burning me down there. And I'm like, dude, I got to get up. I'm sleeping 3 hours a night because I'm working on this film shoot and it's super stressful. I'm doing three jobs. Like, I'm the AD. I'm like the producer. I'm doing all kinds of stuff. And it was just really taxing. It was summer, so it was super, super hot. And it was summer in New York. Very hot, which all kind of wake up viruses, you know, the heat and whatnot. And I thought, okay, this is bad. It's itchy. I probably have a yeast infection. So I went to like CVS or whatever. They don't have CVS out there. I went to Duane Reade and I got like a cream for it. You know, you can treat yeast infections now, like whatever. Well, it wasn't getting better. And in fact, it was getting worse. So I'm like, okay. So I start like WebMD, all this stuff, you know, and I'm hypochondriac. So all these things were coming up and I have a background in science. So I actually know what the things mean. So I'm like, oh no. And I'm going down the rabbit hole, you know, and I basically was convinced that I had herpes, like genital herpes, and I couldn't see anything and I couldn't feel anything, but it was just so itchy and inflamed that I was like, this is what it has to be. And so I had one day off and I dragged a friend to the third story of a Duane Reade where they have like a clinic up there. It's not like a free clinic. It's like a medical, you know, like an urgent care kind of thing. And, you know, I told them, I think I have herpes. I need to get tested. And this lady was so grossed out with me. I mean, I gave her a personality of my current doctor, actually, but that's not who checked me out, you know. And she was just like poking around down there. And I felt like she was judging me, you know, like, yeah, of course you have herpes. Like, look at the status of this thing. Just, wow, what is that? Like a roast beef sandwich? I don't know. But anyway, she was just like really grossed up. She's like, you're fine. You have nothing. Yeah, I don't see anything there. You know, herpes comes out. Like when you have herpes, you know. And I was like, yeah, but I'm not going to leave here until you give me a blood test. And she's like, we don't even do that, you know. And I was like, well, I'm just going to stay here until you give me a blood test. And so she's like, fine, you know, it's $400. It's not covered by medical insurance or anything. So I was like, fine, whatever. Just give me the blood test. And so she gives me this blood test. And I go about my business for the rest of the week, handling all kinds of shit on the film set. And my boyfriend, who's super awesome, I call him Axel in the show, he surprises me in New York. So I have this knowledge that I have gone in to be tested for a major STD. And my sweet boyfriend, you know, took time out of his schedule to surprise me in New York to hang out with me before I start school in the fall. So I'm like, okay, hi. And everything's great. Until like the day he's leaving, I get the call from the doctor and she's like, I can't even believe I'm telling you this, but you have herpes. Your IgG levels, your long-term.
Tune in her voice.
Oh, okay. It's not the, but Cherise, I can't even believe I'm telling you this, but you tested positive for genital herpes. Your IgG levels are off the charts. Congratulations. Oh, you also have a yeast infection, a bad one. It's like the Lord Voldemort of yeast infections is burning you down there. Can I get a Horcrux up in here? Oh, anyway, we're going to have to treat you with an aggressive round of antibiotics. So yeah, what turned out was, yeah, I had herpes. I had had it forever and not even known and wasn't having a herpes outbreak. I actually had like this hyper morphed like yeast infection that was like they had to treat with like some serious antibiotics because I was taking antibiotics for a respiratory thing, so I think like it evolved.
It evolved and
it wasn't getting,
just threw out all your good bacteria,
right?
You gotta take a probiotic.
Yeah, boom, probiotics, hashtag. Anyway, yeah, so that's what happened. It was actually a yeast infection. I would have never found out had I not been a hypochondriac. So yeah. And then I'm on this sightseeing tour with my boyfriend and I'm like, you should tell him you're evil. You're just like the asshole who gave it to you. You need to tell him.
And did you break into song?
Oh no. It was more like, I want to kill myself. Can I jump off this boat? No, you know, like it was not a song and dance number. It took a long time for that to come. It was all like the darkness. Darkness is consuming me. Yeah.
Because you also talk about the Ig and the IgG because you had herpes simplex 2, right?
Yes.
You got diagnosed.
Mm-hmm.
And then you came up with this herpes song. Can mm-hmm. you sing the herpes song for us?
Oh, yeah. The educational herpes
yes.
rap? Okay.
Sing us your rap.
Do you want? I'll do the first two
verses.
Are you
going to do it in music?
Yeah.
With music?
There it is. Instrumental. I don't know what you heard about me, but a bitch undetected I can be. No itch to scratch, no sores you can't see. I be the motherfucking H-E-R-P. I don't know what you heard about me, but a bitch undetected I can be. No itch to scratch, no sores you can't see. I'll be the motherfucking H-E-R-P. Now, shorty, you in the bed, you making him holler. He got a thing for that booty, that coochie, I follow. Your sexy body down under, better if you swallow. And feed my foolish fantasies, in fact, cause I wanna. I spit my little virus, DNA, in a hour later, give your cells up to my armada. I trick memory, stay in lytic phase and gotta. I got the bitch by the nuclei, I'm all up in her. She like my smile, she like my style, she like the way I talk. I'm in her country, immigrating Ellis Island, New York. I am the virus trying to holler cause you want some head. I am the virus trying to holler cause I wanna spread. I could care less how you perform when you in the bed. I'll hit your cells, catch a nerve, come when least expect. Pop like a pimple, baby, you can't see. You fucking with me, you fucking with an H-E-R-P. I don't know what you heard about me. But I do the second verse. I really love it.
Second verse. Okay. Of course. Continue.
I'll be the motherfucking H-E-R-P. But the virus you can't see, girl. You can't holler at me. If you fucking with me, I'm the H-E-R-P. Now what you see on TV, no sick Laverne accessory. Head full of herp, bitch. I'm the H-E-R-P. Get blood tests for me if you're curious to see how it feels to be with an H-E-R-P. Roll in the cells with me. You could fuck with me in your backseat or your V. I'm the H-E-R-P, girl. We could pop cell membranes. We could have a ball or chill in your cells for life. We could have it all. I could really splooge, girl, tear up your walls. If ever you needed someone, there'll be none to call. No one to pick you up if ever you should fall. I'll give you problems, you can't solve them. I'm big, I'm small. Can't see me at all. Infected, can't do shit. Call your friend, your doctor. Eat a Valtrex, bitch!
Okay. I love it.
Thanks.
Oh my God. I love that rap because you cover everything in that rap about herpes. Oh,
thanks.
It's genius.
Thank you.
Yeah. It's genius.
It gets dark in the third verse. It's like you
it
drop,
did. I remember you, it did get really
your,
dark.
You drop your pants. Like, wait, I got some of it here. Let's,
I know.
It gets super
it gets
dark.
Super dark.
It's like, wait,
I agree.
I told you fools before. I stay in the tools. That's the actual one. Camping in your cells. Boom. Kick your family jewels. I holla at a girl till I get her all confused. She got layaway. She ain't even paid her dues. I feel like I had layaway, like, because I'm an asymptomatic carrier. I ain't even pay my dues. Like, I don't have, like, sores, but I still have the stigma. So it's crazy, man. Yeah. Oh, man. Oh, this is my favorite part because I attacked the FDA. Man, girls come and go, every herpes pimping. No, I'm staying secret. FDA, keep it on the low. Yeah, I got a bone to pick with the FDA and Big Pharma. So if you want to get into that, I'm so down.
Yep, one day. Yes, yes. We have lots to talk about Big Pharma on another day. Yes.
It's their
very
fault.
Very interesting.
Fuck Big Pharma.
So you went in, and because you didn't have any outbreaks,
mm-hmm.
The doctor would not give you medication.
Right. I begged them for medication.
But you tested positive. So you tested positive on the blood test.
Several times, yeah.
And they still wouldn't give you medication.
Because I don't have outbreaks. I think different places treat this differently. Because I have a friend who is an asymptomatic carrier too. And he takes Valtrex. Like just preventatively. Which is what I wanted to do. I wanted to pop one a day like a vitamin. And, you know, then I could be okay. That was my whole thing. It was like protecting others. And now I'm normal quotes, you know, now I'm okay. Like now I'm over that. I don't care. I'm with someone who loves me and you know, he knows and he's totally, we have sex like, you know, anyway, but yeah, I went to the doctor to ask for some Valtrex and he wouldn't give it to me. And this was back in, this was around like 2012, 2013, 2012 and 13. So, yeah, maybe things have changed. I'm not sure.
Yeah, that's just really interesting. I think maybe the reason why they didn't give it to you because you didn't have the outbreaks, and plus because probably what it can do to your body long term.
Oh,
but then again, it just doesn't seem right. I mean, I don't know, ethically, that just seems weird. You know, I think they should treat, even though there are no outbreaks and stuff. It should be interesting yeah. what the research says on that. But, you know, and I think this would be good. Or here we go with the antivirals. There we go. I have an article in BGM.
Oh, I remember the acronym, MRSA.
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 Oh, yeah.
She has MRSA.
That's MRSA. Yeah, that's a bacterial infection. It can be hospital-acquired, too, but she probably must have had cysts and stuff.
Oh, that's
awful.
Or little
cysts all over.
Oh, you mean like a sebaceous cyst?
Yeah, sometimes you could get sebaceous cysts with MRSA.
Okay.
So, yeah, so I just pulled up an article in BMG. Antivirals for herpes simplex. So acyclovir, you got Valtrex, right?
Oh, I asked for Valtrex, but I didn't get any.
Yeah. So the treatment is acyclovir, valacyclovir, mm-hmm. and famciclovir.
Mm-hmm.
Similarly effective in healing lesions and in reducing duration of symptoms and viral shedding in genital herpes.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure if viral shedding occurs if you don't have an outbreak.
Yeah, well, I know about that.
Okay, so let's talk about that.
Yeah, actually, like, if you're an asymptomatic carrier, this is the part that really freaked me out, was you can be shedding the virus. All, you know, I could be shedding it now, which is why I wore latex gloves all the time. And I covered this in my show, like, as a scientist. She's like, you can still spread the virus, even if you're not having outbreaks.
I like the scientist voice, too.
Thank you. I'm Charisse's good sense and reason. Anyway, you should wear these latex gloves. You can give yourself herpes on top of your eczema. And that's what I was afraid of. That's where the latex gloves come in. So apparently we can shed the virus, like, I don't know, like 2% of the time in the year, or we're like contagious. It's really strange though, because I was with, well, I mean, I probably got it when I was 22. So from 22 to 32, I didn't know. And I wasn't always the most careful, which I beat myself up about in my show. But I've never had anyone contact me and say, yo, you gave me herpes. And I was with a guy for almost 10 years. And we had unprotected sex all the time. And he never got anything. And I had him tested twice. And I kept his papers just in case some crazy girl knocked on my door one day wanting to see them.
Papers are so...
I got your papers.
You know, people need to start asking about papers because here in Los Angeles, we are the number one leading the nation in STDs. Leading the nation.
All right, guys, way to play it.
Chlamydia.
Good
chlamydia
game.
Is number one.
Give it up for chlamydia.
But it's probably because of the apps, Tinder, Grindr, you know, Bumble, and stuff. Thank you. They should also have public announcements or public health announcements against all these transmissions and stuff like that.
Right.
But I know for myself, and I'm very open about this, anytime that I started dating someone, I would ask them for their papers. And they would show me their last history and physical.
Mm-hmm.
And stuff, and they were actually proud to show it. Oh, yes, I just went to the doctor 2 months ago, and they would show me the paperwork, which was interesting. Well, that's what cool. happened between the 2 months? I don't know.
Right.
I don't know. That was unknown. But so,
yeah.
So did you ever get the Valtrex then?
No, I never got it.
You never got it.
Oh, yeah, but I want to touch on something about the papers because it gave me an idea.
Go ahead.
I mean, most STD blood panels don't have a test for herpes. You know, they test you for chlamydia, gonorrhea, syphilis, and HIV, right? And so, yeah, okay, that's a big four. So then you give somebody your papers and you're like, hey, yo, I'm clean. Like, I just got tested like last week. Well, that's great. You're clear of those diseases and you haven't been tested for herpes, which is a silent thing. Which, if you've never had an outbreak, you've probably never been tested because you're not, well, a hypochondriac like myself. I don't mean to freak people out. I think this is just life. I think some immune systems are stronger than others. And as long as we keep ourselves healthy. But, you know, people can go around thinking that they're clean. And I cover this in my show. You know, 75 to 90% of people who have herpes don't know. So they're going around fornicating like they don't have herpes, but they actually do have herpes.
And you're bringing such a great point in this pivotal time right now when Usher is being sued $20 million. Three women are stating that they got herpes because of him. He never disclosed it to them. They're saying that he knew. And now Lisa Bloom is on the case, you know, which is if it's not on the test...
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, how are we supposed to know and how are we supposed to disclose this? How are we ever supposed to stop herpes?
Right.
So is that your beef with the CDC?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Not only that, but I think that it's because they want to sell Valtrex since it's not fatal. You know what I mean? It's not fatal, so why do we have to test for it? It can spread. Well, that's fine. Then put some, you know, get some knowledge out there and teach people that it's not a big deal. That, you know, we already have the herpes virus in our systems because we get chicken pox, which turns out to be shingles when we're in our 60s. It happens to everyone. It happened to my mom. She got shingles. It was just a touch, you know, for her. Anyway, like, with this whole Lisa Bloom thing, I think the person I have the most beef with is the girl who's like, I got to pull up her name because her name is awesome. It's like Quanisha or some shit like that. She's like the spokesperson of these three women who doesn't even have herpes, did sleep with Usher, but, oh, she's a mother. And if she had known, if Usher disclosed, she would have never made that choice because, oh, my God, girl, you get in a car every day and drive. That is a choice. People get into accidents. Oh, I'm getting mad. But you know what? I am mad. And Lisa Bloom, you probably have herpes, too. I'm Charisse Pasquale. Talk to me. Find me. Cherry Cola on Facebook. We will talk. I don't care. You probably have it. Go get tested. Go get tested because you know what? Most people have it and they don't know. So are we going to sue everybody? Am I going to sue the guy whose crusty cock I, you know, got on when I was like 22 who was healing from a herpes outbreak and was like, oh, I just rubbed my dick raw because I was like really excited to see you. And you know who I was at that point. I wanted to believe that because I didn't want to make him uncomfortable. But in my gut, I knew something was wrong. And all I needed to do was turn on the light. And I couldn't turn on the light because I didn't love myself because I put his interests and his feelings before mine. I mean, am I going to go back and sue that guy? He works in the film industry. I say his name in my show. He's gorgeous. So I'm sure he's given a lot of women herpes. You know, I mean, shit, this stuff happens. When you're with someone and they're not a virgin, that's it. There's no 100% guarantee that, you know, we're safe, we're clean. There's no such thing as that once you get in that pool. And again, I don't mean to freak people out. This is reality. We have to be smart. We have to be respectful of ourselves and each other and be honest and take that truth and not punish people for telling the truth. Otherwise, the truth is never going to be out there. Boom.
Exactly. Boom. I think you put up a great point. And basically, they're going back on this Lisa Bloom case to go back to that. She's going back to this case in 1985 when Rock Hudson's ex-lover sued his estate because he thought he got HIV. He didn't have HIV, but he sued anyway because of mental anguish. So this is what these women are saying. Well, it's the mental anguish that I went through. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think she's really putting out something that's not going to be good in society, you know, unless people just need more money through lawsuits and stuff like that.
Everybody's going to come out of the woodwork and say everyone else gave them herpes. And you know what, ladies? Do something constructive with your time. The mental anguish sucks. Believe me, I've been there.
Or ask someone, just because they're Usher doesn't mean they're clean. Mm-hmm. Or just because you had Derek Jeter. Talk about that.
Oh, yeah,
one.
Derek Jeter.
All these famous guys.
There's the Derek Jeter people. Tree of herpes that you can Google image search. And, you know, these people live with herpes. It's a well-known fact that Jessica Alba has it. Chris Brown has it. Rihanna has it. Like, look at all these cool people who have it.
Are they all going to sue Derek Jeter?
Yeah, are they all going to sue Derek Jeter? Like, no. I mean, and I hope not, because poor Derek Jeter.
Lisa Bloom will be on it.
You know, Lisa Bloom on the case. Bitch, get tested. Anyway, ladies, do something more productive with your time. You can sit around and be like, oh, no, what was me? This really bad guy gave me an STD and my life is over. Do something with that. Take that energy, write it down, act it out, do a one-woman show, write a book about all your pain and misery and suffering and collect some proceeds that way. Sell something, not your soul, but that's what you're kind of doing right now. Like, I don't know, am I judging you a little bit? I mean, you're judging this guy for having herpes, so I can judge you. All the people you slept with, were they clean? Really? Were they really, really clean? Think about it.
Well, let's go back to...
Damn. The anger is coming out.
Very true. It's very, well, let's go back to that anger and the psychosocial implications that happened to you because you went into this deep depression.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You know, after you got your diagnosis, mm-hmm. when you got declined medication... Mm-hmm. Like, why don't you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean,
and what happened to your psyche?
I was really ashamed. I was grossed out with myself. Like I said, I showered with latex gloves on. I had a different towel for every part of my body. I wouldn't let my face towel touch my pussy towel or my, you know, my private area towels. I would Clorox wipe my toilet seat, even though you can't spread it on a toilet seat, even though I knew that. Like, I had Dial soap and Purell and all this stuff in my bag, and just, I made people freaked out about it. You know, there was a guy who totally liked me who maybe he thought it was a big deal in the beginning and then was kind of cool with it, and I freaked him out. You know, and made him shower and wash himself with Dial soap. Like, this is insane. And I pushed people away. I used it as an excuse to push people away because I couldn't accept myself. And that's a big thing to get over. And for some people, it takes years. It took me 5 years to get over that. And believe me, I feel you, ladies, like the shame and all that. That is huge. I don't think it's $20 million huge. Honestly, you can't put a price on your life. And I almost lost my life over that. And my life is worth more than $20 million. You know, we can't sue for stuff like that. Those are issues that we need to work out within ourselves and know that we're strong and we're enough. But yeah, it's, everybody has a different journey. And yeah, I mean, I pushed people away. I got into drugs. Again, it's not a slippery slope. Not all herpes people end up doing drugs.
Did you get drugs delivered to your house?
I did. And my dealer was like Paula Abdul's former dealer and Brett Michaels' former dealer. And I was like, this is pretty badass. This is some good shit. So I feel sexy right now. Looks so good right now. Yeah, man, this shit was great. There were times where I would just write in my house and just do blow and write for days, and I would, you know, only remember to get up to go to the bathroom or get more, and he would be the only guy I'd see.
Did your cat really eat some of your
no
blow?
That was the one thing. My cat is she's like my child, and I'm obsessed with her and I love her so much. That was the only thing I embellished on, you know, but I mean, it was fun, but I did get clean because of her. I think there was one time, because I was very good about keeping it contained. I had like a Pyrex Tupperware container that I had that I would cut all my stuff up in and put the lid on. And, you know, I'd always dust bust and I have a Dyson. Like, I would just get in there and, like, make sure that my vanity area was clean and free of coke. But I do think that maybe, like, a tiny little rock got on her paw, because there was this one morning when she was really hyper and I was like, oh, my God. And I was, like, going to call, like, the, you know, poison control and all this stuff. But I just, like, I kept giving her water and I massaged her until, like, she calmed down and her little heart was racing. Then again, she could have just been hyper, because cats go through that. But I was like, okay, this is like a bad sign. Like, I don't want her to die because of me. Like, I didn't love myself enough to even stop. Like, I don't want to die. But eventually I was driving home one day and I had this weird cramp like here on my temple, and it felt like my jaw was like pulling down, and I was driving a car and I'm like,
it's like you're having a stroke. Hypochondriac self.
Yeah. And I was like, okay, I'm like in the Inland Empire just trying to get back to Hollywood, you know, because I was at a family party and I had been writing for days. I was probably up for like 4 days just, you know, living off of this stuff. And I mean, not doing it excessively. And I didn't go out to party and fuck. Obviously, I couldn't be with someone. I did blow and I just wrote all day and night. But anyway, I was driving home and I'm like, oh my God, if I die right now, my mother has to open up my apartment and find my cat. No. And my cat will be dead. And she'll find the Pyrex full of coke. And I just feel like she deserves more than that. But it was like my cat and my mom. I'm thinking like this poor little cat, like I rescued her. We love each other so much. And like all she wanted was like a good mom. And like she's depending on me. And so I totally stopped. Like I gave myself a week. And I contacted a friend who's in NA. And yeah, and I stopped cold turkey, and I stopped with a gram in my drawer just in case. Wow. And I threw it out a year later.
Wow, that's powerful.
It's just, you know, it's just a powder in a bag. It can't hurt you if you don't let it.
Right.
So I was like, I need to prove this to myself. I am a person. This is a bag of crap, you know? But yeah, that was that.
Wow.
Thanks.
An amazing, amazing story. So let's talk about Amoeba Jesus.
Oh, yeah. Amoeba Jesus. Oh, my. Okay, so after I isolated myself, I was like on Celibacy Island in my show, where I was into the drugs for like a year, and then I got clean for a year. and getting clean.
Were you in society? Like, did you have a job at that time?
Oh, I was.
Were you doing? Were you? Oh, okay.
I was working at home. Like, I would do like assignments and stuff like that, and it would take a lot out of me. But you know, I'm just getting paid like $100, $200 here and there, and then I still had like a nice a scholarship, which I got while I was coked out. Thank you very much. I have skills. I mean, you know, not from doing coke, but from writing. I had a scholarship, and then I had like my financial aid, which I will be paying off forever. So I, you know, I kind of kept myself afloat during that time. But no, I would just order food, smoke cigarettes, and stay in my apartment and clean and write and be with my cat. And that was it. And I would come to my parents' house and stuff like that. So I was social in that way. But I didn't want to go out with friends. I was too scared because that environment would be a trigger for me to want to party and or not party, but use drugs and drink. And I was afraid of guys, and I didn't want to ever have to deal with telling somebody that I had something. Mm-hmm. So the other half of Celibacy Island was just keeping to myself. And, okay, well, I'm safe. No one can hurt me, and I don't have to hurt anyone by unleashing my vagina, which is potentially a weapon on them, mm-hmm. and getting rejected when I tell people who I am and what I am. You know, so I wasn't fully accepting it, but I was still in isolation. So during this time, you know, I got over that. Getting clean for the first year sucked. It was painful. It hurt. You know, people are there for you. They intervention you, but no one's there for you in the room 24 hours a day. You're there with yourself, and you were in that problem alone, and you got to get through it alone. That's just life. I mean, you can go to meetings and shit, but I mean, there's not going to be meetings 24 hours a day. You're going to have to spend some time alone, and it's painful. It's really painful, and you can't negotiate, you know, the old and the new. But eventually, like, I met this guy at Amoeba Records, and he is a wannabe rocker or something. Totally uneducated, absolutely disgusting person. He lived with his parents. He didn't have a car. He treated me like shit. He spat on my face actually once, and I was so terrified of him that I didn't kick him out of my car. There's a part in my old version of my show where he spits on my face, but I had to cut it down for time. He was just an awful person. But the worst was, so we were, you know, moving on a very fast train to Sexville because he had no respect for my boundaries. You know, like the first
night, self-esteem was like,
it was fragile. It was like a thin layer. It was like a thin veil that could easily be broken. Right. And we went out on a date. And he just totally started tried to kiss me. And I was like, oh, like, let's slow down, man. Like, I have issues. And he was like, I have issues. I have issues. Like, just making fun of that. And I'm like, yo, like, I don't even have time to tell you that I have herpes. Like, I don't want to just make out with you and then get in a situation where then I'm going to tell you and it's humiliating. Like, I want to earn your trust first. Basically, this is what's going on in my mind. But he kept pushing me. And it was nice to be wanted, but at the same time I knew I was gonna have to tell him. And so eventually I did tell him. Well, luckily I was on my period that time, and I'm not gonna have period sex with this guy I just met, so, or you know what I mean, so like that I was safe, like we were safe, right? So it was fine. But like the next couple times we hooked up, I had to tell him, and then he was super chill about it. Actually, he was like, oh, whatever, man, I'll just rock a rubber. I'm like, sweet, like this is the kind of guy I need to go for, you know, like a street urchin who works at Amoeba, who like doesn't have a car and can't spell the word sometimes. Like, oh, I butchered that. It's I can't spell sometimes the actual word sometimes. there it is. That's how it is in the show. But so we're about to have sex, and I'm super stoked, man. Like, I dropped him off in his place, and he was going to work his shift at Amoeba, and then we were totally going to get in on after, right? So I'm like, yes. And I even got, like, the special condoms that I like and some lube, and it was going to be awesome. And I'm like, yay. And just, oh, my God, it's finally going to happen. It's been so long. I can't wait. And I bet it's going to be good and this and that. Well, I'm texting him, like, sexy texts all day. No response. Usually very responsive. No response. And I'm like, uh-oh. And then I start to get that bad feeling in my stomach. And I'm like, no, don't doubt yourself. Everything's going great. He totally wants to do you. He was super cool. He could have just bailed, you know, you're fine. And so I'm like, okay, it's fine. It's fine. Then it's getting later and later and later in the day. And then he leaves me a voicemail, and he's like, hey, or he's like, no, he leaves me a text, and he's like, you know, we need to talk. And I was like, uh-oh. Well, what's the worst thing it could be? The worst thing it could be is that he's married and that I'm cheating with him and I don't even know. That, for me, that's the worst thing. And it wasn't that. He was like, listen. And I'm like, oh God, listen, really? Listen, man. Like, I'm poly, you know, polyamorous. And the many women I'm sleeping with, and there's so many women, because, I mean, look at me. Yeah, they wouldn't appreciate me bringing your herpes to the table. I hope you understand. I'm like, this whole poly thing. We got to get into that, but hold on. So I'm like, oh, yeah, and I'm really sad about it, but at least he told me. And I'm like, all right, you know, cool. Well, I want to take myself out of the running so you and your women and your harem, you can enjoy each other. So let me just take my diseased ass and go back into the cave from which I emerged. So that was it, right? And then he's like texting me and calling me the next few days. Oh, we should still hang out. You're such a cool chick. And I'm like, fool, I don't want to hang out with you. Like, what is the point? Or are we just going to make out and get up to this point, and then you're just going to tell me, oh, no, I can't have sex with you, but I can make out with you because you don't have it on your mouth, right? Like, what? I don't want to deal with
total
that.
Total narcissist.
He was such a narcissist. So I cut him off, and then he was like, no, let's hang out. So I was like, okay, we can hang out, fine. So, dude, within like 2 minutes of hanging out, he was like, okay, you know, and then he puts a condom on, and we're like doing it, like one, two, and then he's like, and he pulls it out, and I'm like, why'd you take it out? He's like, because I fucking came already. Go get me some water. And I was like, wow, my mama did not raise me to be talked to by anybody like that. I have a fucking master's degree, damn it. That is crazy. But of course, I didn't love myself at that time. So I was like, okay. So I went and got him some water, and he disappeared into my bathroom for half an hour, and I could hear like just like water, like, is he taking a shower? Like, what's happening in there? You know, like, comes out, and he's like, it smells, you know, like minty fresh. And I'm like, oh, and then but his breath was still bad, but the minty smell was coming from somewhere. It was coming from his junk, because he had washed his dick in Listerine. And this is a fucking thing. I'm sorry, excuse me. This is a thing. So I went on to the Straight Dope, which is a message board where I used to, I mean, like, a lot of people talk about drug use, and it's just for, like, people who live an alternative lifestyle, I think. And on the Straight Dope, I found this forum where, you know, these kids, and I mean, they must be kids, because even if they're in their 30s and they're washing their dicks in Listerine, one, you deserve to get burned. Two, it doesn't do anything. You're just drying out the skin, dumbass. Three, anyway, let me, let's dial it back. Okay, so like on the Straight Dope, there are these boys who believe that when you've been with a diseased whore, and those are the words, diseased whore.
And this is on this website.
Yeah. Oh. That if you wash your dick in Listerine right after being with them, you're going to kill all the viruses. You know, I want that. Go Lysol wow. your dick. I'm sorry. No, I'm not. Because if you're doing that stuff, whatever.
Right.
So
that's
anyway.
Way too extreme.
And the worst was crazy. Like, he had sex with me for 2 seconds with a condom on, and nothing touched. I wasn't having an outbreak. Again, I've never had an outbreak. Like, I felt so disgusting, and it was crazy because I felt myself like split into like two people in a way where like one side of me was like, or one half of me was really, really, really hurt. Like, I felt so sad and so dirty, like just so dirty. But the other half of me was like, damn, this is going to be a really good scene. Like, one day I'm going to write this shit in a sitcom, and it's going to happen to somebody, and it's going to be hilarious. Because it is hilarious.
It is, and it's true life.
And it's,
I mean,
sad.
It's on a website. And people are reading it and doing it.
And
obviously,
yeah,
he read about it somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
And he did it.
Yeah, because he's uneducated.
He probably does it all the time with all his polyamorous women.
Getting back to that. You know, real polyamorism. Like, it's all about disclosure. He would have told me that from the get-go that he's poly. He's not really poly. He's a poly poser.
Poly poser.
Asshole. Yeah, wait. I think I got it all. I think that's... Oh, and Tom Jones does it, so it's not that unusual. And if you're a millennial, you don't get that, and that's okay, because I fucking hate millennials. Just kidding. My boyfriend's a millennial.
Well, now you are in a nice, loving relationship. Your boyfriend was backstage helping you with the show. He's been incredibly supportive.
He's super hot, too. Yeah.
It's awesome. Your show is amazing. I can't wait to see it again. When does it come out again? You're going to do it in September?
September 10th.
Excellent. And that will be?
at the Cromulum Theater, and it's part of the Outdoor Voices Festival. It's a Sunday, and it's at 6 p.m.
Excellent. So going forward now, and just wrapping everything up, what would you like to see done for herpes? I mean, herpes actually came from the Greek word, which means creep, is why you had the song Creep in your show as well, which I was like, why does she have this? I was like, oh, and I was reading it. Well, the Greeks said, because it creeps out.
Yeah, creep in the crawling.
Yeah, and I felt Shakespeare like a creep. Was actually one of the first people that saw herpes and that talked about it in Romeo and Juliet. Go figure that. And so he was one of the first people, it says in the research, that kind of not diagnosed it, but then talked about it. And then there was another guy, Voltaire.
I don't know
if it's Voltaire that.
Oh, please tell me Voltaire had herpes.
Voltaire, or I might be.
That would be so rad. I'm just like Voltaire.
You know what?
Hashtag. Just like Voltaire.
Hold on a second. I had, it was Vidal. Vidal. The guy, not Voltaire.
Is it War Vidal?
It's Vidal in 1873. Oh. All it says is Vidal.
How about Sassoon?
The origins of herpes in human history is unknown, but the herpes simplex was first documented by ancient Greeks as sores that seemed to creep over the surfaces of the skin. Vidal in 1873 first demonstrated the herpes simplex virus to be infectious caused by humans. So there, that's it. It's like this one, yeah.
If you don't have herpes, we don't have herpes.
Oh, and it said the Romans also, they stopped people from kissing because there was an outbreak in Rome of herpes. So they outlawed kissing. Nobody could kiss.
The kissing disease.
And stuff, yes. So, which is, so that's that. But sorry, I cut you off.
Oh, that's
with
cool.
Your last closing remarks.
Oh, no, it's just that I want more education to be available to people of all ages. I want us to be more understanding and respectful of one another and to just see each other as humans and fallible. And we're, you know, we're like little, I don't know what they call, say it in Game of Thrones. We're like bags of water. You know, you punch the bag and the water comes out and you die. Like, we're human. Like, we have to love each other and understand that, you know, these things happen. Let's be honest about it and let's move forward in an educated way.
Excellent. I totally agree. And thank you, Charisse. Your show is so educational. It covers everything. It covers diagnosis. It covers history. It covers physicals. It also covers misdiagnosis and the doctor not wanting to give you what you needed, you know. Excellent play. Please go see it. And thank you so much, Charisse Pascal, for coming on today, the Nurses and Hypochondriacs podcast. And awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you.